Welcome, my friends. Welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We call it the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and it is. It's Thursday, April 5th, 2007, 2 a.m. on the nose. I'd like to welcome all of you joining us on shortwave, frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And welcome to you surfing around there at our website there, franklyspeakingradio.com. Lots of information on our guests. It should be available there. I did email it to Webmaster James, although I didn't get it to him early, that's for sure. But you can go to this website for our guest here tonight, conspiracyarchive.com. Go in the commentary section and look for the incredible articles written by our guests, Philip Darrow Collins, Paul David Collins, also authors of the book in my hand here, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. Welcome, gentlemen, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Oh,
I really appreciate it. Let's bring back Eric in Oklahoma. Eric had just made a point, gentlemen, and you, I had to interrupt you, unfortunately.
Oh, that's no problem. Well, it's interesting that he brings up the Luciferian character of transhumanism.
Mm-hmm.
A transhumanist ideologue by the name of Max Moore, came to the United States from Oxford University in England, and while in England he founded the Miser Limited, the first European organization devoted to cryonics, and he also co-founded the Extropy Institute, which began organizing the first transhumanist conferences in about 1992. But Max Moore wrote an essay quite candidly titled, and I'm quoting, quote, "In Praise of the Devil," unquote.
Not many different ways to interpret that.
Yeah, you know, how many ways can you slice it?
Yeah.
But this essay was pure vintage Luciferianism. For the edification of Eric and the rest of the audience, I'll read it verbatim, just one segment from it. I'll make it quick. Quote,
okay.
"The devil, Lucifer, is a force for good, where I define good simply as that which I value, not wanting to imply any universal validity or necessity to the orientation.
Hmm.
Lucifer means light bringer, and this should begin to clue us into his symbolic importance. The story is that God threw Lucifer out of heaven because Lucifer had started to question God and was spreading dissension among the angels. We must remember that this story is told from the point of view of the goddess, if I may coin a term, and not from that of the Luciferians. I will use this term to distinguish us from the official Satanist with whom I have fundamental differences. The truth may just as easily be that Lucifer resigned from heaven," unquote. And he goes on to basically say that basically Lucifer, apart from the fact that he doesn't acknowledge him as a literal metaphysical entity, but mm-hmm. that Lucifer symbolizes man's cognitive powers to achieve apotheosis, he goes on to basically defame God and say that God was a well-documented, in his words, quote, "a well-documented sadist," unquote,
mm.
and everything, that Lucifer really wanted to overcome the superstition and oppression of God himself. And so you're very, very astute for recognizing the Luciferian character of transhumanism. It's quite open.
Sorry, before we go on that, we're coming up on a break here, though. But, Eric, don't worry. We'll have plenty of time for you, my friend. You called in with two really short segments. I did want to throw this out there. The thing that jumps out at me about the passage you read was he basically said, "I call it good because I agree with it."
Yeah. We all in agreement, are we not? Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
Vintage moral relativism.
Absolutely. It's just, and that's the problem here, folks, with the overall dominionists and everything that we've discussed here tonight. And it ties in with eugenics as well. If you are not considered to be, or your beliefs are not considered to be the good of whoever is making that decision, you're out. That's all there is to it. And you think about eugenics, there's so much to that as well. It's about what is considered desirable. And what if you are not? Or the person making decisions determines that you aren't. Then you're gone.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are joining us here on a fascinating discussion we're having with authors Philip Darrell Collins, Paul David Collins. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. And let's bring Eric back. Eric, go ahead, sir.
Okay. What are you saying before? It really reminds me of Prometheus and the light bearer stealing light from the gods. Well, of course, mm-hmm. that's Satan bringing the light of enlightenment to our mere mortal miracle. To humanity, to still a little bit sleepy, so I'm trying to get my words together. To them, Satan is the savior. Lucifer is the savior, and he is their answer. They have agreed to being in agreement. They have agreed that to bring this power forth. And it seems like every single technology is being used to that mm-hmm. end. And our food, especially right now, I think is being modified to mm-hmm. make us less than human, getting back to the technotronic state of that. But, hey, I'm going to shut up and just let you guys talk. I just want to compliment you guys. And I, you know, when I was growing up, I went to Ohio, and I met some wonderful Christian brothers that changed my life. And show me you don't have to be stupid to be a Christian. And wow. You guys seem to be carrying on that tradition. And you get to tell you, I appreciate you. And God bless y'all.
Hey, God bless
you. Thank you,
Eric.
God bless.
Let me just say this, Eric. You are batting 1,000. You are so astute for recognizing the recurring motif of Prometheus throughout this. Fire in the Minds of Men by James H. Billington, he refers to the revolutionary faith of the early revolutionaries of Marx and Lenin's time as the Promethean faith. And it was vintage scientism because it basically was the religious belief that science would guide man out of darkness into light. And with the transhumanist movement, the part and parcel of their dark doctrine is what's known as Prometheanism. And basically they consider man to be a Promethean organism.
Wow.
Moving towards the Promethean Promethean objective of basically transcending biology, to become something other than humanity, becoming something other than man, overcoming humanity and becoming God. So, I mean,
interesting that they would completely neglect the end result of Prometheus himself.
Exactly.
Let's all be gods. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute here. Yeah, we can't die, but we can have our liver picked out every day by vultures.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Exciting.
We'll selectively overlook that portion. That's not a happy ending, you know. So yeah.
One thing that occult apologists try to do also, though, is that they try to say that St. Jerome made Lucifer and the serpent in the garden one and the same, and that was not the case until he came along. But if you look at the word for serpent back in Genesis, it's Hananakash, which means shining one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, luminous one, which is, and what's Lucifer mean? Light bearer.
That's right.
So, and you have that sort of etymological continuity throughout all the scriptures. And so, I mean, there's really no distinguishing, you know, the shining one from Lucifer from the devil and everything. So. And the Masonic apologists throw that one out too, because of course we're not venerating Lucifer, the devil. We just gather together, you know, as good old fraternal brothers and have bake sales and
never mind the whole
one another.
Yeah, never mind the whole, you know, Albert Pike and morals and dogma, and Lucifer is the light bearer and he is the one who gives us enlightenment. Never mind all that.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah, nothing to see here.
So. Let us again continue with the calls, folks. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. I blanked there for a second. 800-313-9443. Get in while you can. Michael in Minnesota, welcome to the program.
Hello, Frank. Cool.
Yes.
Just give me 1 second, okay?
Sure. Take all
there
the time.
There we are.
There we are.
I got her now. I had to turn my speakerphone off on myself.
Wonderful.
I just really want to ask these guys... I think this was a great interview, but
well,
I want to ask the Collins. I want to ask the Collins brothers, where is heaven?
Mm.
Straight up, I want an answer.
Okay, so when you say straight up, you're not answering the question.
Where's heaven?
Right.
Where is heaven?
Philip, Paul, anybody?
Well, do you mean like a physical location? Because this is on the spirit. We're talking two different planes of reality. We're talking about the spiritual plane of reality and then the physical universe, and that's not necessarily one and the same. And although I will say that there'll come a point in time where the one plane will invade this plane of reality with a force, then, you know, in the power to so as to make it clear and plain to everyone that it's not a fiction and it's not something that should be relegated to the realm of mythology.
Okay.
What exactly were you looking for, Michael? I'm not quite sure I understood the question.
Simply that. I mean,
the GPS.
God lives in heaven, right?
I suppose, but you're talking about like the GPS coordinates, or I mean,
nope, not at all, Frank.
Okay.
I'm just simply asking. I'm basing this on, we understand as we've been taught, we understand God lives in heaven, correct?
That's correct.
And so I'm asking you, both of you, where is heaven?
Well, if God is outside the ontological plane, then we can. The physical universe, because God is a spirit. That's what the scriptures say. He is a spirit, and he should be worshipped in spirit. Then so is heaven. It's a spiritual reality.
And if he was within the ontological plane of the physical universe, then the Bible would not say to us that we walk by faith and not by sight, because it would be a place where our senses would we be able to pick it up with sense certainty.
And I've always been.
Are we realizing the Bible here? Are we really realizing the Bible is
I want you to expand on that, Michael, but just in response, my 2 cents, which, you know, are only worth 2 cents, I've always been in the opinion that God is everywhere, the whole omnipresent aspect of God.
So I'm just going to ask the Collins brothers.
Yes.
If I'm asking my simple question, and I ask this a lot, okay, so. this is a leading question, okay? You know, where is heaven, okay? And if you really understand the Bible, you already understood where Jesus said it was.
Well, he says the kingdom is nigh thee. The kingdom is near. In fact, the kingdom of heaven is within you. But the kingdom of heaven...
There we are. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay,
so
well, I'm glad to oblige and everything. The thing about it is that kingdom will actuate itself, will actualize itself at the end of history through us here within this physical plane of reality. But the spiritual and the physical shall come together as one. We're not supposed to go around trying to make a heaven of this.
There you are.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I mean, thank you so much. And
okay.
I'm not trying to, you know... pinprick on you or anything like that.
No, I think
I do appreciate your being here tonight. I really do. Frank,
yes,
I'm going to throw it down. I'm going to throw it down the way I see it, okay?
I love it.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I want to hear Frank Whalen on his show have Red Elk, David Booth, and the Collins brothers at the same time.
All of our heads would explode. What are you talking about?
I
can't handle
care.
That.
I don't care. I'd be willing to do it. I don't care. I just want to hear what all three of these people, four of them, have to say at the same time. You know, Frank, I mean, you know, Collins brothers, I'm just going to simply say, thank you so much, guys.
Amen.
Because
thank you.
You have, I mean... I listen to you, and it's like, holy crap, this is like a level and a half above my mentality, but I'm somehow or other able to understand parts of it and mm-hmm. most of it, and so I had to call in and waited 25 minutes, you know, and all this good happy stuff. But I just wanted to tell, I really did. I mean, mm-hmm. after hearing you guys, and it was probably a good thing I had to listen. And the guy that called from Indonesia... Well, anyway, he was trying to challenge you, and there was so much there. But I just want to challenge Frank, okay? Frank?
Yes.
This is your listener. Man, I'll drop $100 into hearing these three people, four people, all at once. I mean, it would be worth that much to me, and I think it would be literally worth that much to each and every person who is still listening.
Mm.
Because these guys literally... they'll take you beyond what we can understand, and I know that you're challenged with it a little bit.
No, quite a bit. In fact, let me just stay for the record here, Michael. First things first, brother. Thanks for making it simple, because it you know, as complex as it all can be, it can also be simplified very, very easily by looking at it from, you know, at the beginning and then sort of expanding out. But I will go on the record here. I consider myself fairly well read and with a fairly good vocabulary. But Phil and Paul, I've never needed a dictionary to read a book. And you guys, your terminology, your vocabulary is just exponentially greater than my own.
Aren't they able to teach us? They
oh,
teach
yeah.
us as they talk.
Absolutely.
I'm listening to these guys, mm-hmm. and I'm just amazed at, you know, that they teach us as they talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm literally saying that I think these guys are spirit-led.
Oh, yeah, without indisputably.
Yes, thank you.
I'm just kind of dumbfounded. I've heard them on your show before.
Yeah, you've heard Philip before. We've never had Paul on, I don't believe. Right, Paul?
I think this is my first.
Yeah, because when it was a morning show, it was just not workable for your schedule. But you both have made accommodations to be here together tonight, and I appreciate that. I also want to say this, too, that I think the beauty of what you guys have constructed in the course of the book, and certainly all the articles and the time you've given us here tonight, is you have really, really served to piss off the other side. And here's why. You are doing this because you're taking the reason that they rely on, the logic that they adore, and you're using that to prove them to be full of hooey.
Yeah,
so it's a beautiful thing.
It's a two-edged sword.
Yes.
It cuts both ways.
Oh,
But in regards to Mike's $100 offer, maybe you can get a PayPal link set up.
I already got it, man. I already got it. I'm not worried about that. I'm just simply asking you the question. Obviously, you know, you understand where heaven is,
yeah,
and you understand about the limitations and the expectations of the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Michael.
We're going to a break.
Yes, we are. Folks, let me ask you to hang on. We'll be back in only 3 minutes, and that's going to take us to about 23, 24 past, which means only 35 minutes left to get your calls in here. 800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Stay with us.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back. Exciting times here, folks. I'm Frankly Speaking Radio. 35 minutes left and counting in the home stretch. You are more than welcome to weigh in with your thoughts. Jump in the queue. We'll get you if we can. 800-313-9443. Our guests, Philip and Paul Collins. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you very much. And by the way, my comments were a compliment. I just should clarify.
Oh.
And I mean that in the best possible way. I just think that that's what's going to infuriate, you know, these you know, high-fluting, free-thinking types, you know, and whatnot.
Well, I'm sorry, Frank.
Oh, no, it's all right. We still have Michael there.
Sure,
Michael in Minnesota. Go ahead, sir.
Frank, can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
I've changed connections a little bit.
Okay.
I want to thank you and RBN for bringing these guys on, because they are definitely a blessing.
Amen.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, I cannot say how much blessed I am by some of the words and just what these people have, what these guys bring forth. It is pure logic, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost pure logic to me anyway. But again, I'm going to challenge you, okay?
All right.
I'm going to throw this out there until you do it. David Booth, Red Elk, and the Collins brothers.
All right, I will put the feelers out and see if we can organize something like that. I will say this though, on a side note, keep David Booth in your prayers. Last time I had heard, and it was not through him, but a third party, he had lost a member of his family, and you know, I can't even fathom what he's going through. So keep him in your prayers as I do.
I will. Right. And I'll put the word out there, you know, at least to the people that I know. But I do, you know, I cherish, literally, I can't, maybe that's not the right word, but it's what comes to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Cherish what you do, and I cherish the people you bring on, like the Collins brothers,
mm-hmm.
like Red Elk, like David Booth.
Mm-hmm.
We would never, ever, you know, we're out here on the internet, and I'm out here in the sticks in Minnesota. We would never, ever have any interface with these people and their knowledge and their experience, except for you, Frank Whalen. Thanks, man.
Michael, I got to say this. If you were the only person who ever listened to the show, and this is the only phone call you've ever made in my entire radio career, you've just made it all worth it. Thank you, and God bless you.
You take care. And the Collins brothers, thank you guys, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.
Hey, yeah, God bless, Michael.
Wow.
Don't be deterred, man. You're on the right track. I don't know what the track is, but you just what you do.
That's right. And thank you very much, Michael, for the call. But you know, Phil, Paul, I think what he's saying, and I agree with him, is that, you know, it doesn't matter the contextualizations of the references and all of the historical proof and the logic and the reason that you guys are using to make the point that whole side is just full of it. But because you're communicating on a spiritual level, and we're receiving this, and it's powerful, powerful stuff. It's motivating. It's inspiring.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's the truth. It's the truth.
I really appreciate it. I mean, I got to tell you, really the whole premise for the book, for this book, was it basically came to mind several years back in 1997, 98,
wow.
And everything, when I was taking a science and religion course.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, I went into this course with an agnostic Marxist and a full-blown Darwinian geologist.
Wow.
And the hubris, just the scientific hubris and the arrogance of these people.
Mm-hmm.
It began as a seed right there. I just knew that the Lord was, you know, laying upon my heart to be able to you know, basically lock horns with these people on their
yes.
own, you know, on their own their own, you know, with their
yeah.
own weapons.
Using their weapons against them. I love that. And I'll say this, too. You know, I've had the same thing here locally. Groups that have organized against me, they've gone on television to go against me. They've brought a United Nations representative to town to counter some of the things that I brought out on the show. They've organized different engagements against me. They've taken out ads in the newspaper. They've done their best to call into the show. All of these things. And of course, I don't have the information, the knowledge, the skill, the education, or even the ability to compete with them on their level. But I also know that common sense has gotten me a very, very far in conversations with people like that, because I can detect a politician answer a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
A non-answer to me is like a neon sign.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, the academic polemical studies can teach you how to win an argument.
Mm-hmm.
Common sense can teach you how to change a tire, in which one of those is more profitable when your car is broken down.
Amen. I like that.
You can break out your Webster's dictionary
when the cars, when an academic is on the side of the road, you call that's the definition of out of luck.
Yeah. It's also the definition of humility. So.
Yes, or entitlement. Who will come and change my tire? Maintenance man, that's what you do for a living. All right, let's keep going with the calls. Are we going to break, Thomas? Or are we just going to skip this break? Yeah, just skip it. Just skip it. No, we don't need advertisers, right?
No.
Go ahead and take us to break. We don't want to lose our advertisers. We got to keep the information flowing, keep everything out there for the people. And this is the way the show functions. This is the way Republic Broadcasting Network functions, folks. It functions because of you. It functions because of our guests. It functions because of the advertisers and sponsors and the people out there that we ask you to support to continue. These operations, because they, well, like I said, it means a lot to me to be able to come in here and do this and chat with great people like all of you here tonight. We're going to take this break. Only 3 minutes, so we'll come back and continue with all of our phone calls. Again, our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Stay with us. More Frankly Speaking Radio after this.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Welcome back. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whale, and our guests this evening, Philip Darrell Collins, Paul David Collins. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank you so much. Really powerful, powerful show. Let's continue with the calls. Again, folks, 800-313-9443. Frank in Louisiana, welcome to the show.
Yes. You know, this talk about this fascination with Gnosticism, it's just the same warmed-over neo-paganism. They can't ever find anything else to talk about or invent anything of their own. If you remember that Isaiah tells us that the thing that got Lucifer in trouble is that he had lifted himself up to the stars of God and found himself equal to God. He wanted to be God. You go to the Garden of Eden, the Tree of Knowledge, you will be as gods. The Gnostics, the great apostle St. John had dealt with them.
Yep.
He ran into Cerinthius, one of the famous Gnostics of his day, and he really ran out of a bathhouse.
Yes,
and said
in
he
the
felt
bathhouse
that,
he left. He
right,
was
now,
that disgusted, yeah.
The Gnostics like to use Jesus. This is why the apostles disliked him so much, but they denied his divinity.
Right.
The Gnostics, gnosos, the Greek word meaning knowledge, had come to the brilliant conclusion through Satan that knowledge was salvation.
Right.
You move to the modern era, and you see Satan's up to his old tricks because he's told the New Ages that you are as gods, a.k.a. Shirley MacLaine, we're all gods.
Right.
This is the same old thing that has been going on from the Garden of Eden, and the reason that the so-called Luciferians refuse to call themselves Satanists, a lot of them, is because they say, well, Lucifer actually won the battle in heaven,
right,
and they call Jesus a weakling. You see,
right,
it's all the father of lies telling you of their lies, and he's used so many things. He used the liberal theologians in Europe in the 20th century, which wrought Adolf Hitler because they denied the divinity of Christ, whether it was Reinhold Niebuhr or Niemeyer or all these other guys who came up with existential Christianity, which was a total denial of the New Testament Jesus.
Right.
And that's what Satan has always done through these neo-pagans. He has shifted Christianity one step away from the supernatural God-man. And they come up with this thing, such as the French did in the 18th century, the Age of Reason.
Right.
Through Voltaire. And you see, it was really an anti-New Testament Jesus revolution. And every time you see this, you see that the French ended up, their revolution failed, and they end up with the warlord Napoleon. The Germans ended up with the warlord Hitler. This goes on and on throughout history. When you move away from the New Testament Jesus, you move in now into the 20th century, into the 21st century, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when Paul clearly states that there must be a falling away before the man of sin be revealed. And there's going to be something very close to Christianity, but it'll never match up to the New Testament Jesus. And this is where we're at today.
Mm. You're absolutely correct. And like you said, they like to recycle the same ideas and the same concepts over and over again. And that's no the neo-Gnostic jihadist of today are no exception to that rule, such as the neo-Gnostic jihadist that we know as dominionist. They do the same thing that the Gnostics of old did. The Gnostics of old would conduct religious engineering projects and basically re-sculpt Jesus according to their politically and socially expedient desires. And what the dominionists do is that they've conducted religious engineering as well, and taken Jesus and re-sculpted him into a revolutionary leader, really, honestly.
Yeah, he's become more of a Jacobin Messiah,
who basically spearheads a movement to gain the secular governments using secular power, and yeah. So like Phil said, he's a Jacobin Messiah to them. The only real difference that I would say that there exists between the neo-Gnostics of today and the Gnostics of old is technology has really given them a leg up. We can return to the all-seeing eye, and the all-seeing eye basically to several groups such as Theosophy and other groups that basically either dabbled in or were full blown into Gnostic ideas. The all-seeing eye was the third eye that mankind supposedly had at one given point in antiquity and lost by basically mingling with lesser races. And And so what they're doing now through technology and through surveillance surveillance technology in particular is trying to reclaim that third eye.
Yeah, trying to assert an omniscience of their own. In fact, it's interesting that part of the TIA, the now defunct TIA program, part of its logo was the famous Baconian dictum, knowledge itself is power. And, of course, Sir Francis Bacon in the 17th century, he systematized most of the principles of technocratic governance and assembled them into a comprehensive tome entitled The New Atlantis, which was published in 1627. And interestingly enough, The New Atlantis was adorned with the esoteric symbols of Freemasonry, and Freemasonry, of course, is the organizational retainer of the ancient mystery religion that originated in Mesopotamia, specifically Babylon and Egypt, and evidently Bacon adhered to the occult tradition of this religion, and that contention can be reinforced by his tutelage in Kabbalism, Gnosticism, Hermeticism, and Neoplatonism, and Bacon himself was a member of a secret society called the Order of the Helmet, which derived its name from the Greek goddess of wisdom, Pallas Athene. And the goddess of wisdom is a recurring esoteric motif within occult secret societies, basically representing the science and the cognitive powers of man as the chief facilitators of humanity's salvation. And it's very ironic that same dictum of Bacon's knowledge itself is power would turn up again here now in a modern day surveillance project, a modern day surveillance program. But
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just curious about the initials for the Information Awareness Office. They have some significance as well.
Yes, the acronym IAO it was actually also the name of a Gnostic demiurge, and one that's supposedly venerated in some Masonic rituals. So this symbol is replete with just esoteric motifs, with occultism, and again it demonstrates the neo-Gnostic pedigree of the neoconservative dominated Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
These older occult religious concepts now have been codified as revolutionary doctrine, and so as neo-Trotskyists, the neoconservatives are carrying on the Gnostic crusade to emanatize the eschaton. It's now taken on more of a political character than an overtly religious one.
I might also add to that, recall that Contragator John Poindexter was the guy spearheading TIA, and we also had a prior example of the Contragator crowd being involved in panopticism with the Promise software, with Edwin Meese stealing that software and then Ollie North using it to track dissidents and troublemakers. It puts that whole crowd into a whole new light. It's not just a bunch of Ivy League superflies any longer trading guns for weapons and guns and drugs going in different directions and all. You now see them as kind of being involved in this neo-Gnostic jihad too, with some religious convictions behind what they were doing.
It demonstrates the religious character of what they're doing, and it's interesting because we were discussing Brzezinski earlier in the interview. And Brzezinski, of course, now who's critical of the neoconservative-dominated administration, characterized the current campaigns abroad as Manichaean. Now, Manichaeanism is a form of Gnosticism that was developed by a Gnostic by the name of Mani. And Manichaeanism basically divides the world into this ultra-dualistic view of dark and light, and ignores the complexity of human morality. Basically, you're either with us or you're against us.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, the axis of evil.
Yeah.
It was promulgated all throughout the Cold War era, as well, with the United States being propped up as the hero. But the truth of the matter is that the establishment here was just using native fears of communism to set up their own socialist system here in the United States and present it as a bulwark to Russian communism.
Frank, anything further?
Well, what ties into this is the whole line of Satan's lies. First he promises you money, then he promises you power, and once you get that and you're so thoroughly empty, then he promises you godliness. And what's happened, the establishment have been controlling a lot of this stuff through Tavistock Institute and these various institutes. They took over the American education system in 1904, Rockefeller-funded General Education Department, and they've taken over the university systems through their foundations and put their professors in and all this kind of stuff. And what you're seeing when you see all these arguments coming out from these so-called professors who are more like a cult leaders to the false intellectualism, you're just seeing this whole phase coming through, and they have all the power, they have all the money, and they're making themselves gods, and they're subjecting us to the Marxist idea where there'll be a wealthy elite class and then there'll be just the rest of us as the slave class. And they tie that into their new theology, and it's a theology of Satanism is all it is, and it moves into the beast system.
Wow. Fantastic stuff, Frank. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, sir. Phil, Paul, would you like to, respond?
Well, he's right in bringing up the Tavistock Institute. That's the only other thing I'll comment on is the Tavistock Institute engages in alchemy, in the transformation of humanity. The way that they did it is through their idea of what is known as sociatry, which is basically the mixing of the word society with psychiatry, the merging of those two words. And the concept basically held that by inducing shock and trauma, you can basically cause man to regress back to a state of being a blank,
a tabula rasa,
yeah,
a blank slate,
and
you basically recreate the personality according to your design.
Yeah, you rewrite on the slate whatever you want. In their case, it would be an oligarchical script, and we've seen that throughout history. Traumatic events, September 11th, Oklahoma City, traumatic events that force humans to regress back into a
safe zone, sort of.
Yeah, into a childlike state where, and if you'll recall, the most impressionable period of anybody's life is when they're a child.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting too, and of course in that concept of society, it would be sort of integrating itself and its agenda into sort of the pop culture, music, entertainment, things like that, which all, of course, ties hand in hand with what we have talked about and really what the book goes into as well, which is the sort of technological innovations that have served to allow us to be imprisoned in our own little world of our creation, which we're quite content with. And nobody really likes the cage rattle too much, I suppose.
Yeah, certainly. In an entire segment of the book, we discuss, for instance, semiotics, which is basically the use of signs. Anybody who has taken a course in broadcast criticism will have to learn about semiotics. But basically, several pop culture films, and people can characterize them as just innocuous entertainment and what have you. But if you look at entertainment as the barometer of culture, and art and entertainment as the barometer of culture, you realize there's definite significance there. It's showing you the basic trajectory that culture is assuming. And we discuss at length in the book the film Independence Day, and the themes that are promulgated through Independence Day, such as interdependence, social political interdependence, world government, world government that's brought about as a matter of expediency to retaliate against an alien threat, and then using citations from somebody who's definitely not a conspiracy theorist, a gentleman by the name of Elliot Gaines, who was, in fact, my college professor in media criticism and a semiotician himself, shows how the events of September 11th were recontextualized according to this, to the script, to the narrative paradigm that's presented in Independence Day.
Really?
Yeah. Ron Insania, during an interview on MSNBC, makes an intertextual reference towards Independence Day. And through this intertextual reference to Independence Day, what was initially coded as fiction now becomes coded as fact. The template, the narrative template for Independence Day, was imposed upon the events of September 11th by the American public. And central to Independence Day is the binary opposition of good against evil, good humans against evil aliens. Well, you have aliens there, which they give us that, they reinforce that paradigm with an unsubstantiated wire from the West Bank about Palestinians dancing and praising God for the destruction of the Twin Towers, along with archived media footage of Palestinians dancing, which was later revealed to be archived media footage, although they MSNBC ran it with a title card reading earlier this morning.
Wow.
Exactly. So, and the MSNBC later on admitted that they had committed a breach of ethics by doing that. However, it was too late. Within the public conscious, the narrative paradigm for September 11th were good Americans against evil Islamic aliens. So, basically, yeah, you can see where pop culture really does serve this functioned as purpose. It works hand in hand with the Tavistockian concept of sociatry.
Wow. Powerful, powerful stuff. And I agree wholeheartedly. When you think about it, everybody gets their paradigms established. I mean, we're all conditioned, and I've said this many times, we're conditioned by a number of things, and everybody is. No one can say they're not. I'm conditioned to think that here at 2:54 a.m. in the Central Time Zone, it's going to be dark outside because it's always been dark at 2:54 a.m. in the Central Time Zone that I've been here. So it's a form of conditioning. It's expectation, and you can shape that through exposure to the media. Now, whether it's news media, entertainment media, any number of different things, any number of different ways to do that. And this is, you know, as a radio talk show host who has been in radio for 14 years and done morning radio, you know, I've found that it's my obligatory duty to be somewhat cognizant of what is happening out there in the world around me, which is why I can probably speak somewhat knowledgeably about American Idol as far as the way it's set up and how it works, having never seen an episode of this, because I've read the articles and I've seen the news clips and whatnot. So I understand these things, and I understand the way they're trying to shape our worldview of things. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it's vital to understand these things.
Yeah, and it's all developed according to the same formula.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and if you notice, I mean, a lot of it harkens back to an older model, which is very scary, and that's the Roman Colosseum model. I mean,
oh, yeah.
You know, you watch, for instance, oh, golly, if you're in a particularly white trash mood, watch Jerry Springer. It's very much Roman Colosseum mentality there. But
sure.
Then that translates all the way to more legitimate media, such as ABC.
Mm.
You have basically the proverbial thumbs down being given to those segments of the population that do not meet with the status quo.
You know, let me take that analogy a step further. The Roman Colosseum, of course, had, you know, basically live executions, which, of course, we would never, ever have in America. And yet, how many times have we all seen the videos of the beheadings and Saddam Hussein being executed? I mean, in the context of news, quote unquote, anything goes to the culture. I we're taking a bizarrely late break here, folks. Thomas, are we coming back from this break? All right, we'll come back and then wrap up very quickly with all the information on our guests tonight. Philip Darrell Collins, Paul David Collins, folks, stay with us, back in three.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow,